WILL.edu. And at 12:37, that's our look at midday at WILL News. Our next report this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting, Champaign; Common Ground Food Co-op, Urbana; Prairie Boat Works Gallery, Champaign; and Lowell Heap Farm, Dewey. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Now let's take a look at the weather. A strong cold front that tracked through the Midwest this morning will continue to filter windy and much colder weather into the region through the end of the week. As a vigorous upper-level disturbance tracks through the region, widespread snow is expected to continue into the late evening hours. Total accumulations will range from 6 to 8 inches across northern sections of Illinois and Indiana to 1 to 2 inches in southern Illinois and western Kentucky. In addition, gusty northwesterly winds will create considerable blowing and drifting snow, as well as very cold wind chills around zero by late tonight and into tomorrow morning. High temperatures today will range from near 10 degrees across northwestern Iowa to the mid-30s across western Kentucky. Overnight low temperatures will range from the single digits above zero across northern Wisconsin to near 20 degrees across southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon. Well, before we get to that, let's remind ourselves that we have a winter weather advisory in effect for most of the WILL severe weather coverage area until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And a winter weather advisory is in effect for Ford County in our severe weather coverage area until 9 a.m. tomorrow. Okay, now the forecast. This afternoon, snow and blowing snow with accumulations of 1 to 3 inches. It will be colder with the temperature falling through the teens. It will also be windy with a wind out of the west from 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, snow this evening with a chance of snow after midnight. We'll see blowing snow through the night with snow accumulations around an inch. That's on top of what we'll see this afternoon. It will be colder. Expect a low around 10. It will be windy with wind out of the west at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy and very cold with a chance of snow tomorrow morning. The high 19, the wind from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 8. The wind will be out of the west from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow during the afternoon. Expect a high in the mid-20s with the wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. The outlook for Sunday and Sunday night, partly cloudy. The high Sunday will be around 30. The low Sunday night in the mid-20s. At noon central time, snowing across most of Illinois and Indiana with temperatures in the mid-teens to the upper 30s, 37 degrees at South Bend where fog was reported. At Rockford, 22 degrees. In Chicago, at O'Hare, it was 29, 16 at Bloomington, 19 at Mattoon. In Carbondale, 24 degrees and cloudy there. In Lafayette, 24 degrees. Indianapolis, 27 degrees. In Terre Haute, 21 degrees. Willard Airport reported light snow at the top of the hour, 18 degrees. The dew point, 14. The relative humidity, 86%. The wind out of the west at 25 miles per hour with gusts to 32, giving us a wind chill of minus 1. The visibility down to 3/4 of a mile at Willard Airport at the top of the hour. And here at 12:42 during the afternoon magazine, 16 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. There's a new memoir out highlighting major changes in the Los Angeles Police Department. It was not written by a police officer. The title is Power Concedes Nothing. It was written by civil rights attorney Connie Rice, who spent the last 20 years suing the LAPD. Would you like to know what the police think of her book? Well, here's NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates.
For two decades, civil rights lawyer Connie Rice was a thorn in the side of the Los Angeles Police Department. Actually, make that backside.
I woke up every day trying to figure out a new way to sue LAPD and the LA County Sheriffs because they were such a negative and humiliating and emasculating force in the black and brown communities.
So it's a little psychedelic to see her here in the belly of the LAPD's gleaming new police building where the police chief is hosting a book party for her. And cops, active, retired, uniformed, and plain clothes, are lining up for her to sign copies of her new book, Power Concedes Nothing. The book is Rice's account of how she and the department came to terms with each other in an effort to make L.A. safer and saner for all of its citizens.
How are you?
Good, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
As he welcomed everyone to Rice's party, Chief Charlie Beck admitted Rice and the LAPD had not always been friends. But he said their relationship has evolved into a solid partnership. The new police headquarters, with its open courtyards and big glass walls, is far friendlier than the old one. Beck told the crowd it's reflective of Rice's urging that the LAPD make itself more approachable to the community.
This is in part a house that Connie built.
There was a lot of chuckling over the irony. This prim, steely woman with her perpetually raised eyebrow has spent so much time suing her hosts in the past. But somewhere along the way, Connie Rice and the LAPD became friends.
I'm so biased at this point that I'm completely lost all my impartiality, and Chief Bratton achieved his goal. I can no longer sue the Los Angeles Police Department. But to tell you the truth, I don't want to. I don't need to.
When she began working at the Los Angeles office of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund in 1991, Rice ran into the old LAPD, the lean, mean policing machine Chief William Parker made famous in the 50s, and his hand-picked protege, Daryl Gates, made infamous in the 80s and 90s.
It was a very good paramilitary intimidation policing culture, but it was also racist.
Case in point, the 1992 riots sparked when four LAPD officers were acquitted of viciously beating black driver Rodney King. Rice believes the riots were a reaction to this kind of suppressive policing. Here, KNBC reports the chaos.
After 24 hours of seemingly unending violence in the city of Los Angeles, the toll of death and destruction is absolutely staggering. At least 17 people dead at last count, close to 500 injured.
After the 1992 riots, I think the curtain on our joint alienation, it rose just a bit.
Rice is sitting in the offices of the Advancement Project, a nonprofit she co-founded to address barriers to opportunity. Her windows in the Echo Park neighborhood have sweeping views of where poor, mostly immigrant L.A. meets hipster L.A. After the riots, Rice bluntly told city leaders what would happen if the city's poor neighborhoods continued to be ignored by its better-off residents.
Understand that if we leave these children trapped in these petri dishes from hell, where they can't learn, they're exposed to violence, they're forced into gangs, and the gangs run things. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That threat is going to come out of those communities like a cat out of a bag. At us.
That obligation to ensure the entire community's well-being was something that was drummed into Rice from birth. Her parents believed education would be a potent weapon in the fight for equality.
You learned three words by the time you were one and a half or two. The first one was mommy, second one was daddy, and the third word was college.
Philip and Anna Rice raised Connie and her brothers Norman and Philip Jr. throughout the U.S. and abroad. Colonel Philip Rice was one of the few black career officers in the United States Air Force. Anna supervised hours of homework and instilled proper behavior. The Rice parents, like a lot of their black middle-class peers, were rigorously preparing their children to excel in a world that often believed black excellence was an oxymoron.
It's not the tiger mom or tiger parent kind of thing. You're swathed and loved, you're cherished. The love is unconditional, but the expectations are also unconditional.
Those values run in the family. Connie's cousin, Condoleezza Rice, remembers being raised the same way.
We were just expected to succeed, and we were expected to work hard. And I remember my parents and their friends all had a saying, you have to be twice as good, and it was said as a matter of fact, not debate.
The cousins are about the same age, with the same quick minds and brisk speech. But the former Secretary of State says there is one major difference between them.
I'm not really actually quite as driven as Connie.
That's debatable, but Connie Rice is driven. Work seems to be her recreation, and she is relentless about bringing the LAPD and the communities it polices closer together for the entire city's benefit.
Part of the story of this book is that incredible journey of how we worked with a sued LAPD and then worked with them to get them to understand their interests were at a change. Their future in L.A. meant that they had to have the backing of these minority communities.
Both Rice and Police Chief Charlie Beck believed how the city was policed had to be changed. Beck and his predecessor, William Bratton, gradually replaced the old paramilitary hardliners with new commanders who had a more expansive view of what policing entailed. He says Rice worked hard to get key gang leaders to consider that the new method might save the youngest people in their communities and keep their mothers, wives, and girlfriends safe.
They want a police department that is fair, and they want a police department that's effective. Just being one or the other is not enough. You have to be both. And Connie has helped us to be seen as a police department that is fair.
Most of the time. It's not perfect. There are still police community confrontations, but there seems to be more willingness to listen on both sides. Back down at the book party, Rice is working on other things that need fixing, even as she continues to sign books.
The MTA case, the 209 race, all that stuff.
And it's clear that while tonight was a celebration of Connie Rice and her book, it was also a celebration of the LAPD. It's a coming-out party of sorts for the department's rebirth as a 21st-century institution. And it's an acknowledgement that Rice, who Beck often calls the city's moral compass, has been critical to that effort. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Listeners like you appreciate and enjoy programming that consistently offers balanced perspectives, enlightening information, and educational entertainment. Have you thought of including WILL in your estate plans? Our Legacy Circle members provide for the station for years to come by investing in the future of WILL. Contact your financial advisor or call Donda Beard at 217-333-7300 or online at will.illinois.edu/support.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 12th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of Haruki Murakami, born in Kyoto, Japan, 1949, who, when he was 3 years old, fell into a creek and was saved by his mother just before he was swept into a tunnel. He said, "I remember it very clearly.